In elder time, there as of yore, when guides of churlish glee were used among our country carles, though no such thing now be. The which King Alfred, liking well, forsook his stately court, and in disguise unknown went forth to see that jovial sport. How Dick and Tom, in clouted shoon and coats of russet gray, esteemed themselves more brave than them that went in golden ray. In garments fit for such a life, the good King Alfred went, all ragged, torn, and from his back the beggar his cloths had rent. A sword and buckler good and strong to give Jack Sauce array, and on his head instead of a crown he wore a Monmouth cap. Thus coasting through Somersetshire, New Newton Court he met, a shepherd swain of lusty limb that up and down did jet. He wore a bonnet of good gray, close buttoned to his chin, and at his back a leather script with much good meat therein. Godspeed, good shepherd, quoth the king, I come to be thy guest, to taste of thy good victuals here, and drink that's of the best. Thy script, I know, hath cheer good store. What then the shepherd said? Thou seem'st to be some sturdy thief, and mak'st me sore afraid. Yet if thou wilt thy dinner win, the sword and buckler take, and if thou canst into my script therewith an entrance make. I tell the royster it hath store of beef and bacon fat, with sheaves of barley bread to make thy chaps to water at. Here stands my bottle, here my bag, if thou canst win them, royster, against the sword and buckler here my sheephook is my master. Benedicte now, quoth our good king, it never shall be said that Alfred of the shepherd took will stand a whit afraid. So soundly thus they both fell to it, and giving bang for bang, at every blow the shepherd gave, King Alfred's sword cried twang. His buckler proved his chiefest fence, for still the shepherd's hook was that the which King Alfred could in no good manner brook. At last, when they had fought for hours, and it grew just midday, and wearied both with right good will, desired each other's stay. King Truth, I cry, quoth Alfred then, good shepherd, hold thy hand. A sturdier fellow than thyself lives not within this land, nor a lustier royster than thou art, the churlish shepherd said. To tell thee plain, thy thievish looks now makes my heart afraid. Else sure thou art some prodigal which hath consumed thy store, and now cam'st wandering in this place to rob and steal for more. Deem not of me, then, quoth our king, good shepherd, in this sort. A gentleman well known I am in good King Alfred's court. The devil thou art, the shepherd said, thou goest in rags all torn. Thou rather seem'st, I think'st, to be some beggar basely born. But if thou wilt mend thy estate, and here a shepherd be, at night to Gillian, my sweet wife, thou shalt go home with me. For she's as good a toothless dame as mumbleth on brown bread, where thou shalt lie in hood and sheet upon a fresh straw bed. Of wig and whey we have good store, and keep good pea straw fires, and now and then good barley cakes, as better days requires. But for my master, which is chief and lord of Newton Court, he keeps, I say, his shepherd swains in far more braver sort. We there have curds and clouted cream of red cow's morning milk, and now and then fine buttered cakes as soft as any silk. Of beef and rye at bacon store that is most fat and greasy, we have likewise to feed our chaps and make them glib and easy. Thus if thou wilt my man become, this usage thou shalt have. If not, adieu, go hang thyself, and so farewell, sir knave. King Alfred, hearing of this glee, the churlish shepherd said, was well content to be his man. So they a bargain made. A penny round the shepherd gave in earnest of this match, to keep his sheep in field and fold, as shepherds used to watch. His wages shall be full 10 groats for service of a year. Yet was it not his use, old lad, to hire a man so dear? For did the king himself, quoth he, unto my cottage came, he should not for a 12-month pay receive a greater sum. Hereat the bonny king grew blith to hear the clownish jest, how silly sots, as custom is, do discant at the best. But not to spoil the foolish sport, he was content, good king, to sit the shepherd's humor right in every kind of thing. A sheep hook then, with Patch his dog, and Tarbox by his side, he with his master Jib by jowl unto old Gillian hied. Into whose sight no sooner came, "Whom have you here?" quoth she. "A fellow I doubt will cut our throats, so like a knave looks he." "Not so, old dame," quoth Alfred straight, "of me you need not fear. My master hired me for 10 groats to serve you 1 whole year. So, good Dame Gillian, grant me leave within your house to stay. For by Saint Anne, do what you can, I will not yet away." Here churlish usage pleased him still, put him to such proof, that he at night almost choked within that smoky roof. But as he sat with smiling cheer, the event of all to see, his dame brought forth a piece of dow within the fire throw she, where lying on the hearth to bake, by chance the cake did burn. "What canst thou not, thou lout?" quoth she, "take pains the same to turn. Thou art more quick to take it out and eat it up half dow, than thus to stay till be enough, and so thy manner show. But serve me such another trick, I'll thwack thee on the snout, which make the patient king, good man, of her to stand in doubt." But to be brief, to bed they went, the good old man and his wife, but never such a lodging had King Alfred in his life. For he was laid in white sheep's wool, new pulled from tanned fells, and o'er his head hang spiders' webs as if they had been bells. "Is this the country, guys?" thought he, "then here I will not stay, but hence be gone as soon as breaks the peeping of next day." The cacklin' hens and geese kept roost and perched at his side, where at the last the watchful cock made known the morning tide. Then up got Alfred with his horn and blew so long a blast, that made Gillian and his groom in Bedford sore aghast. "Arithe," quoth she, "we are undone. This night we lodged have at unawares within our house a false dissembling knave. Rise, husband, rise, he'll cut our throats, he calleth for his mate. I'd give old Will our good caged lamb, he would depart our gates." But still King Alfred blew his horn before them more and more, till that 100 lords and knights all lighted at the door, which cried, all hail, good king, long have we looked your grace, and here you find my merry men all, your sovereign in this place. We shall surely be hanged up both, old Gillian, I much fear," the shepherd said, "for using thus our good King Alfred here." "Oh, pardon my liege," quoth Gillian then, "for my husband and for me. By these 10 bones I never thought the same that now I see. And by my book," the shepherd said, "an oath both good and true, before this time, O noble king, I never your highness knew. Then pardon me and my old wife, that we may after say, when first you came into our house, it was a happy day." "It shall be done," said Alfred straight, "and Gillian, my old dame, for this thy churlish using me deserveth not much blame. For this thy country, guise, I see to be thus bluntish still, and where the plainest meaning is, remains the smallest ill. And master, lo, I tell thee now, for thy low manhood shown, 1,000 wethers I'll bestow upon thee for thy own, and pasture ground as much as will suffice to feed them all, and this thy cottage I will change into a stately hall. As for the same as duty binds, the shepherd said, good king, a milk-white lamb once every year I'll to your highness bring. And Gillian, my wife, likewise of wool to make your coats, will give you as much at New Year's tide as shall be worth 10 groats. And in your praise my bagpipe shall sound sweetly once a year's, how Alfred, our renowned king, most kindly hath been here. Thanks, shepherd, thanks, quoth he again, the next time I come hither, my lords with me here in this house will all be merry together.